B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, then. Hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Friday, October 23rd. Fridays mean what, Maz?
Agenda-free.
Agenda-free Friday. Agenda-free Fridays are set by your wonderful phone calls. As soon as we get in here, wiped down and disinfected, the phone lines will be open. Your number is going to be 617-779-0985. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose some new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. What we do is we give opening thoughts while the call screen is populated, and then we go to you in the first segment if we're all ready. But in the meantime, opening thoughts. Maz, you want to go first?
Murray, you want to go? You want me
to? No, I'm ready to go.
All right,
so,
cool.
Listening over the last few days to callers to this show and others, most of you people already have Stephon Gilmore traded, whether the Patriots win Sunday or not. And the more I think about it, for this season in a vacuum for the Patriots, I think it's stupid to trade him. Trading him is waving the white flag on this season, and I can't think that the locker room would feel any other way, especially when Belichick made it abundantly clear how important Gilmore is when he made sure that he was on the plane to Kansas City after he had the COVID dinner with Cam Newton the night before. So that, and coupled with J.C. Jackson and Jonathan Jones are good, but they're not defensive player of the year good like Gilmore just was named last year. If they let him go, I don't know, you're weaker at that position. It changes everything for the defense. All of a sudden, you're probably going to have someone that's going to be wide open or a defensive bust like you haven't seen with the Patriots like over the last two decades. They can still win the division. I believe that. If you look at those last seven games, I think that they could actually win all seven in a row if they can figure things out. They can still be decent to a good team for 2020. So trading him, I think, is Belichick admitting otherwise, and he thinks they stink, and the tank is on. And the other thing is I heard from a brown checkmark source of mine, if they're going to be buyers, keep your eye on Kyle Rudolph. There's going to be a Vikings sell-off.
Oh.
Oh, Rudolph would make sense here.
That's a fit. He healthy? He playing?
I think they had interest in him before, didn't they?
I have no idea.
Remember a couple of years ago?
I think
so.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Don't remember whatsoever. Murray, I like your take. I'm with you.
I don't want a white flag on the season. I want a season. It was just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we're talking about you got to buy. This team's worth investing in. You come off that Seattle loss. And even though the next week was, you know, not a great week against Las Vegas, you're still have that game. You're 2-1, whatever. And it's like, No, all systems go. We're having a season. And then Newton catches the COVID, and it's like, now it's turned on its ear. But just dial it back 2 weeks. You were all in. We're all in. Like, it's not.
It just feels premature.
Thank you.
And I get that it was an ugly week, and it was an unexpected loss, one that really is mind-blowing because that's a bad Broncos team. But, like, it ain't over. Like, people are acting like, well, the season's done. They got to start selling off. Like, everybody pump the brakes.
I agree with you, Murray. I co-sign on that take. Maz, what do you got?
People are overreacting to that loss last week. However, I feel a little bit differently than you guys do about the trading deadline. And this doesn't relate specifically to Stephon Gilmore as much as it does with the trading deadline in general. Here's what I would tell you. Do I want to see the Patriots wave the white flag and cast off pieces? No, I don't want that. For lots of reasons, I don't want that. Here's what else I don't want. Another second-round pick from Mohamed Sanu. I don't want that either. So somewhere in there's a happy medium. This team has completely butchered the draft in recent years. They've made some bad trades on top of it. They now, overall, I think, lack young talent in the organization and need a bunch of spots that they have to fortify. And so I would like them to protect their highest draft picks. Now, where do you want to draw the line? Fourth round? Fifth round? Third round? I don't know. Depends what you get back and what the contract status and things like that are. But I certainly don't want rent-a-players, and I know Sanu wasn't a rent-a-player because he had another year on the contract, but it effectively turned out that way because he was so bad both here and in San Francisco that he's out of a job right now. So Bill Belichick has butchered the draft. They've lost the equivalent of a full draft board and penalties for cheating over the last 10 years or so, maybe a little bit more. So you cannot just throw away draft picks at this stage. I'm not one of these people that treats draft picks like pieces of gold. They're only worth anything if you actually draft players with them. But can the Patriots get their act together and actually hit on some draft picks and stop taking people like Sony Michel and N'Keal Harry in the first round and trading seconds for Mohamed Sanu? I mean, what a disaster that has been. So that's it.
So you do want them to sell?
No, I don't want them to sell. I want them to protect what they have. So you want to tell me you can get Kyle Rudolph?
You just don't want them to buy.
I don't want them to. I told you, I'm okay with buying if the price is good.
This guy said
Brown checkmark?
So my brown checkmark guy is a guy I used to work with in Atlanta that's close with someone that works in the Vikings organization. He texted me this morning, 11:44, heard Pats are interested in Kyle Rudolph for mid to late round pick, Vikings selling off.
Okay, so that I think I'm okay with. Now, let me see. Is a mid to late rounder a fourth? Is it a third?
A fifth? That'd be great.
Okay.
You don't like the player?
No, I like the player. Yeah, I like the player. I don't want to give up a second for him.
How old is he? How much term does he have on his contract, et cetera? I mean, if he's a guy, and I've lost track of how old he is or what his status is, but, I mean, was it just last year?
He's 30. He's 6'6".
Okay, I did 30. How much does he make? Was it last year that he got boned on the offensive pass interference?
Yes.
In New Orleans?
Yeah, the push-off, yeah.
Yeah, man, that was just, that's a real piece. That's a real piece right there. And if you got him for another couple of years, I don't know, man.
Did he get boned or did he get away with it?
That's what I mean.
He got away with it.
Yeah, that's what happened, right? He got away with it. That's right. I knew there was a boning.
He signed through 2023, 4-year, $36 million deal.
Well, so what's he making in the next couple of years?
Seven and change.
Okay, well, they're going to ask him to restructure.
Yeah.
He's going to have to give something back. I don't know if they're going to take on the money, but I like it. All right. So anyway, mine is I'm just going to tease. We're going to do a little Celtics today because there are some trade rumors here in the hopper over the last couple of days. Gordon Hayward back to Indiana. I know Bill Simmons and Zach Lowe were speculating on Marcus Smart to Golden State, something that's been talked about before as well, and the Warriors sitting there at number two. Would that be on the board for you? And so just let me, facilitate just to begin it real quick. You think the Celtics are of the mind to break up this group, Maz?
I think that if the right deal is out there, they would move Smart. I do.
When I say given their history, no.
Would they move Hayward?
Again, in the right deal, I'd say less likely on Hayward, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Am I going to get Trader Danny or Hoarder Danny?
I don't know. Probably Hoarder.
Probably the Hoarder.
I'm worried about Hoarder Danny.
Yeah, I would say that's more likely. If you're asking me what I think is more likely overall, I think it's more likely the Celtics stand pat.
Okay, what I think is that something has to give on the roster. It's not the right mix. It still has some maturing to do. And certainly there is more upside to Tatum and Brown. I get it. I don't know how much more upside there is to Marcus Smart. I don't know how much upside there is to Gordon Hayward. I don't know how much more upside there is to Kemba Walker. I think those guys are what they are, and I don't think they all fit together. So something has to move. There has to be movement on this roster. So don't tell me Danny's just going to hoard Marcus Smart because he's into the hashtag winning plays. He's going to hoard Gordon Hayward because they don't want to bone him after bringing him in, or he's Brad's guy that he picked up in the Subaru at the airport or whatever. I don't want to hear this. You have to change the DNA of that team a little bit. That's just my Celtics tease. We'll get into more of it in a little bit. But as promised, phones in the opening segment, as we do. I'm not even logged in, so these are true agenda-free calls. I don't know what you're calling on, which is dangerous. Cam and Taunton, lead us off.
Hey, Mike, you owe me a culpa on this. Last year, when you campaigned for Marvin Harrison and Reggie White, N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers, Mike, is there all a chance that maybe a 6-time Super Bowl champion quarterback just knows when a guy sucks and blows?
Yep.
This receiving core is so bad, and Myers can't get on the field, Mike. And I know Cam Newton is skipping through the lilies and holding hands with N'Keal Harry and buying him ice cream, and he still sucks. So is there a chance Brady was right?
Yes. I'm just not going to give it to you after week 5. Sorry. It doesn't look good right now. But again, let me just play the same game with you. 2-3 weeks ago, we were sitting here saying, what did Harry have in Seattle? Like 9 catches or something?
7, I think, yeah.
Damir Bird had gotten a little involved, and Newton was throwing the ball, and it looked like that passing game was showing signs of life, and it was on the come and showing some things it didn't show last year. That was just 3 weeks ago. Now, what, 1 game later is really what it is, or 2 games later? You're blowing me and asking for mea culpa? No! Let's see how it plays out. It's not looking good right now, but let's see how it plays out.
Well, the other thing I would say is there a chance Brady could be right? Yeah. Yeah. At this stage, I would say he probably was right. His attitude still sucked. And it doesn't make his attitude any better.
Sure.
And again, I come back to prior to N'Keal Harry getting here, he was already trying to get out. So you know, again, it's not about Harry in particular.
Yeah, but I'm being fair. I thought the change of scenery, meaning the scenery between the receiver and the quarterback, whoever the new quarterback was, would help those receivers improve. And this week, that's not looking so good. Get back to me next week and the week after, and let's see it play out.
Yeah, I just think that there's a middle ground in there, believe it or not. I think it's possible that Brady was right, but that his attitude still sucked.
I mean, but let me just tell you, though. I mean, that last play, the 4th-and-10 play, shook me. Because I've held on to N'Keal Harry, like that's sort of a centerpiece, right, of my take, that a different quarterback with Harry who supports him will get more out of him. So after a couple weeks, that was looking good. But 4th-and-10, and that defensive back is easily squatting inside. He's got inside leverage, and Harry has to read it and cut the other way, and Newton reads it properly and throws it outside, and Harry still runs the wrong way. That shook me a little bit. It's like, dude, how much longer is it going to take before you figure that out? He's inside, you run out. He's outside, you run in. Is it really that difficult?
No.
So that sort of scared me, I'm going to be honest. John in Boston, what do you want to talk about?
Hey, yeah, first off, the Patriots receiving core absolutely blows. They are by far the worst receiving core in the NFL, hands down. But what I did want to talk about was that dynasty list that came out yesterday. I saw Branch's tweet this morning and looked at the list real quickly and realized that Gostkowski wasn't on it, Vinatieri was. And Gostkowski obviously has, you know, 600 more career points, all-time leader in points, and played double the amount of games that Vinatieri did.
So, so
he should be there over the greatest kicker in the history of the game.
Okay, so hold on. So there's an all-time Patriot roster out?
Yes.
A dynasty team.
Who did it?
Patriots.
The team did.
Okay, the team released it.
Yeah.
And the team went with Vinatieri over Gostkowski.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Yeah. I don't know. Was it a fan election or no?
That I can't speak to. Honestly, I didn't pay attention to it yesterday. I just heard Beatles say the same thing, and I was the same way. Like, is these things, like, whatever. They're like barroom arguments. But then I saw Dion Branch tweet about it this morning, and I did take a look at it, and it's like, well, wait a minute. Branch didn't make this list? Well, he got porked.
Good for Dion. What a joke. I don't care about these things.
I usually don't either.
Patriots Hall of Fame, you're going to have to do it on your own time. It's like the kids' table. Like, please. Please.
I love them admitting that the dynasty is over.
But, maybe that's part of it.
That's brutal.
I mean,
he's right, though.
Vinatieri over Gostkowski, good for them. Because Gostkowski
right pick.
Lost in a, you know, he left in a contract dispute. And the team, you know, buried the hatchet there. They easily could have gone Gostkowski there. So good for them on that. Moss over Branch is wrong on so many levels. It's not even funny.
Welker over Branch. Same thing. Welker.
Welker's on there?
Yeah.
That at least there's a closer case for that. Moss had one good year. People just forget. They just got so in love with 07 and like forget what he did afterwards and what he did to the team and how he helped destroy the locker room and to the point where they had to ship his ass out of here 3 games into his, was it the third year or the fourth year? And he never won with them and was a centerpiece to the biggest collapse and choke the team ever had. It's like, oh, God, he stands for everything you don't. Talent over toughness, talent over character, flash and hype over substance, losing over winning. Oh, please. Branch comes in and helps save that team in 2010. Coming off of 09, they had lost the team, and Moss was a centerpiece to it. Everyone likes to blame Adalis Thomas. And Moss was front and center, to the point where a month into the next year, they had to ship his ass out of here after he almost beat up Bill O'Brien in the locker room. The freaking baby loser. Dion Branch comes in, saves that season. They go 14-2. You pick Moss over Branch? Thing's useless. I do respect the Vinatieri pick, though. Good for them.
So you know what I don't get? And I'm stealing this from Beatle. How do you have a guy on there who wasn't part of a championship when you won 6 titles?
I'll tell you why. Because that guy happens to be on an NFL broadcast right now. He's on a big pregame show, and you need someone to wash your balls when it comes time to on a national broadcast, which is really what the Patriots are all about, the PR game. This guy's going to work with us. He's going to say nice stuff about us. He's a more prominent piece right now. We got Randy on the pregame show. He'll say this about it. He'll never say a bad word about us, and it's just a big mutual nut scrubbing. That's what it is.
I mean, to me, in all honesty, and this also excludes Mankins, whom I love, and Welker, who had a good career here. But if you didn't win a Super Bowl here in 20 years, you can't be on that team. That's sort of my 2 cents.
No, never mind.
I'd eliminate all 3 of those guys.
Who had 1 year? that was worth writing home about. Anyway, off and running on Agenda Free Friday. No agendas here, can you tell? Right back to your calls after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Garoppolo touchdown. Down the field and wide open, and that will be a touchdown for Marquise Goodwin. Garoppolo throwing at the goal line. Touchdown. Garoppolo has time. Stands in. Going deep. Going for it all. For the end zone. Touchdown 49ers.
Garoppolo keeps play action. Passes caught. Touchdown.
Eight now. How does that feel?
Feels great, baby.
I never wanted you to be gone. They made me trade you because of Tom. Lord, I miss you.
He's got a lot of qualities that, you know, we admire in a quarterback.
I'll keep texting with my phone when you make a perfect throw. Jimmy, I miss you.
He's just so good.
Belichick beatbox there, Maz?
Oh, yeah, love it.
Oh, my God. That is something else, Murray. What do you like this weekend?
I like the Patriots.
Yeah, I do, too.
I just think, again, I gave you the math yesterday. They haven't had a game like they had last week in 12 years. 12 years. I just think the chances of that happening again are microscopic.
They're going to make your boy look bad?
I think so. I also like the way they match up against the Niners, which, again, I think, you know, they have a obviously a good secondary, the Patriots do. And so I think that Belichick will take Kittle away, and he will commit guys to stop the run game, which means that Garoppolo is going to have to beat them, throw into the receivers, and I don't think that that's San Francisco's strength. I think the Patriots win that matchup. I like their secondary better than I like the Niners' receiving core.
I mean, I know it's all new, but historically they're best when their backs are against the wall. And the other thing is, I go back a couple of weeks when Miami went into to San Francisco and made Garoppolo look like a complete fool, and there's some institutional knowledge there with Brian Flores being the head coach there. So, you know, I just feel like that's going to carry over. Bill's going to make him look like who he really is.
I mean, this is a sad statement too, right? That I don't know if the Patriots have the passing game the Dolphins have, even with Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. So a lot of it's going to depend on that. I just think that it's going to be a hard... I like the under in this game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
Okay, I just like the Pats on the bounce back. You know, never mind the matchup or where the Niners are at or anything like that. I just, in a vacuum, I'd like the Pats against most anyone this week. I have to. I mean, don't tell me that's going to go from bad to worse. They're not going to respond from that. If they don't respond, you know, from last week, that's a really bad sign.
Yeah, look out.
Okay, so that and everything else on the table here on an Agenda Free Friday. Let's grab Brendan in West Roxbury on the Celtics. Go ahead, Brendan. Brendan!
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What do you got?
Hey, I wanted to call in about Danny Ainge and free agency. I think we really need to go out. We need to find a guy with veterans presence, you know, someone with a championship pedigree, you know, not necessarily in a talent level because they got enough talent. So, I mean, I think they need to go out and get that guy, you know, chucking Hail Mary threes at the end of games, fighting in the locker rooms. I mean,
there's something not right there. There's something not right there. And just, you know, like you said, chucking threes at the end of games and fighting in the locker room. And that's what we saw when it mattered most. And so something's got to change there. And I'll tell you, to me, it can be addition by subtraction. I just think they need to subtract. I think they need to take a piece out of there. Because they just don't fit right. And, they don't need, quote-unquote, more talent. I don't think. You can wait for Tatum to become the guy. That's fine. But I think it you know, you can speed that process along by taking some pieces out and adding, you know, needs, role pieces.
Fill a hole.
Right. A big guy, a bench guy, a bench scorer, a sniper. I know you've brought up, you know, just a guy.
Pure shooter.
A rim protector. You know, someone like that. I don't need great talent. Like, you know, I've heard with the Hayward rumors and Oladipo. It's like, no, I think Oladipo it's another finger in the pie. It's another guy in the kitchen that they're going to have to figure out shots and roles and whose team is it. And like, no.
Too similar to what they have.
All right. So it's like, no. Then you want Turner. You want a big, so start filling roles. Peel off a little your quote unquote talent, which I don't even really put Smart in that category, but you know what I mean. Peel away some of your pieces and fill a role and leave more room for Brown and Tatum, you know, if nothing else.
So the only reason I leave open the chance that they would do that is because there were rumors out there about Indiana or Andre Drummond, you know, that they're looking at those guys.
I love Drummond.
Yeah, so I don't love Drummond because I just think he's inept on the offensive end. But beyond that, at least he's a big guy, at least a real big guy who can play defense. So, you know, it's a step up, but. So I feel like they're sniffing around. So that's good. I'm happy that they're sniffing around. But if they're going to make a trade, they got to bring in something they don't have.
We've got Chris in the car on the Pats, I think. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot. I love the opening takes. I usually can't catch them because I'm, you know, don't get out of work in time, but today I did. So Murray led it off with, you know, raising the white flag. He doesn't want that. And you're right, Murray. Absolutely. I don't want that either. Nobody wants that. But what happens if they do lose to San Francisco or even, God forbid, next week, too? Would you then raise the white flag?
Nope, because then you're 2-5, and Murray's mentioned it a lot. You can still, you know, I don't know if they run the table, but the schedule's really easy.
And the way Buffalo's played the last couple of weeks, do you still think that team can win the division? I mean, they can, but I don't feel as great about it as I did 3 weeks ago.
I just don't want them to start thinking that way at this stage.
It's just too early.
It's just not, but I mean, you're still in the middle of Belichick's run. And it's like, no, don't be that team. Don't be that team, because I think that's dangerous. It's, you know, not that they would be tanking per se, but benching Newton and playing Stidham if they don't really believe in him just to see. Is that sort of waving the white flag?
Oh, no, that would be committing to the future.
Or really selling pieces and, you know, you don't care if you go 5-11. You start being that. There's a slippery slope there, man, where that then becomes a culture and it's okay to lose and it's okay to be 5-11 and it's just a throwaway year anyway. And if next year gets off to a slow start, well, we're in a rebuilding period and it's okay to lose. And it's like, even with Belichick here, it's like that, if that stuff starts to take hold in your locker room, you're freaking porked.
See, I'd be surprised if he went that far with it. I just feel differently about Gilmore than Murray does. I think he got depth in the secondary. He's gone at the end of the year anyway. And frankly, I think he's a little overrated.
And they were trying to sell him before the year.
Right.
You know, this is what I said yesterday. I don't quite consider Gilmore selling because they would have traded him when they were 0-0, not 2-5. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like, in a first round, if you can get a first back for him, I don't know.
I'd feel worse if they traded Tooney than Gilmore.
Almost. Yeah.
I would. I'd feel so. Worse. Because their offensive line is the key to their success if they're going to run the ball.
Our buddy Tommy's in Lynn. Who do you like on Sunday, Tommy?
I like the Pats on Sunday.
Why?
And Maz. Because they're going to win. They're
okay.
Going to win.
Okay,
they need this big win in Maz. Can I say something to you?
Of course.
They had the guy. They had him. They had the guy, Murray. They had him. That's it.
Good job, Tommy.
Good, Tommy. You nailed it. Absolutely. Caleb's in Maine on the Celtics. Hi, Caleb. What do you got?
Hey, guys. So, I have a question. Does Danny Ainge just suck at his job, or is he lying to Celtics fans when he says that they can win a championship? I mean, they have a lot of talent, but they don't have the guy. I know what you guys are saying about Jason Tatum could someday become that guy. I don't see it. I see him maybe being a top 10 player in the league. I just don't think that he's built a roster that's ready to win a championship. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
So I think he is hyper-optimistic. I think Danny feeds into the worst impulses of Celtics Nation, which is, everything's great. Everything's going to be great. And the whole operation needs a little more urgency, a little more edge, and Danny does not provide it. However, I don't think that Danny believes he's a championship team.
No, I don't think he does either.
You know, that the answer to Rich or Fred and Rich when he did that interview a couple weeks ago with TNR, when they asked if he had a closer,
I mean, he basically said we don't.
No, he said the closest we have is Tatum.
Right, exactly. He basically admitted and so told you we don't have that guy yet. So I think he realizes what he is and what they are at this juncture. So is it just the long play? You're just waiting for Tatum to develop that? Which is okay. I guess it's okay. But I think you can help Tatum if you start peeling away some pieces and really, you know, make it centric around him.
I mean, the big guy thing is a serious problem, and it has been for some time. And people can continue to ignore it if they want. But you got smoked by Adebayo in the playoffs. You got smoked. He got smoked in the next round. Okay, and Giannis is still on the landscape. So the fact is that you better find somebody who can handle, be a factor in the paint, or you're in big trouble. You're not going to win it anyway. To the caller's point, if you don't think Jason Tatum's the guy, well, then they're really porked. Because the whole thing is built around that. Whether it's next year or the year after or 2 years down the road.
If he's not the guy,
then you're a big, then forget it.
Well, then you're trading him for Giannis.
Well, okay, so right.
Then you're trading him for what? I don't know, you tell me.
But it feels to me like they drafted Tatum, the equivalent for them of the number one pick in the draft that year. Because they had the number one pick and they said they would have taken him. So you don't take a guy like that and then deal him off if you think he sucks. So all I'm saying is if Tatum's not the guy, well, then forget it. It's all irrelevant. They're not going anywhere.
Let's pick this up on the other side. First, an update from Murray here on Agenda Free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So Golden State calls Boston, and they say, we really want Marcus Smart. Well, and we can fit him in our trade exception. We're off our number two for Marcus Smart in the 14. What does Boston do? Huh. I'm on the record as saying they can never trade Marcus Smart. I love Marcus Smart. But
I do
think if you're Boston the Celtics, this is a chance now to get a potential multi-time all-star player to team with Jaylen and Tatum.
I think Boston should probably do that. My guess is Golden State would view that as selling low on number two.
So that's Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons on the Marcus Smart stuff. If you, Maz, if you're the Celtics and one has to go, Gordon Hayward or Marcus Smart, where do you start?
Oh, ideally, I think I'd go Hayward there. Because, again, contract, older, and replicates what you have. So, you know, you've got Brown, you've got Tatum. Smart does give you something that maybe you don't have necessarily on the roster without him.
Who's a bigger problem in terms of too many cooks in the kitchen?
Smart.
Thank you.
Smart.
So, I feel like there's a Smart Jaylen Brown thing. Like, I feel that's like a fault line right there.
Two strong personalities.
And, one of them thinks he's better than he is.
Correct. The ego to talent ratio is out of whack.
And the other one maybe thinks he's smarter than he is. Or,
correct.
You know, more of a clubhouse lawyer, Jaylen Brown, whatever. It feels like there's a, between those two.
Schism?
Yeah. You know, that feels to be like, just look at it. It's either Smart or Brown in the middle of most of this stuff, even last year. And you can say Brown was on the right side of it, standing up to Kyrie, or was it he that pushed Marcus Morris, or the other way around? Wasn't it Brown and Marcus? Who was pushing who? Was that Brown and Marcus Morris?
I think that's right.
You know, yeah. So it's like, I mean, Brown's in there. You say maybe he's on the right side of it, I guess. I don't know. But it feels like those two are always in the middle of it.
Okay, so look, at the end of the day, if you're asking me of those two guys, it's a no-brainer. Like, and look, I know Bill Simmons is Mr. Basketball, but the idea that you wouldn't trade Marcus Smart is ridiculous.
For the number two overall pick?
That's ridiculous. Like, I would never trade Marcus Smart. Why would you say that?
So, you know, I'm not going to tell you exactly what they need to do. I just know they need to do something to peel something out of that locker room and change the DNA in there a little bit. Because the only thing I do know and believe strongly is that the current mix ain't going to work. It's just not going to work. Whether it's Smart versus Brown or Smart and Hayward being redundant or superfluous, or there's just something there.
And so you got to, you will add, I believe you will add in the long run by subtracting in the short term. And you don't need to get talent for talent. Fill a role. Fill a role. I mean, I'm not a big believer in bench, you know, bench play, but your bench blew. I mean, it really did. You had no bench scoring. So yeah, just add to that. Yeah. Or get someone to protect the rim, you know, finally.
I mean, to me, they got a couple of pretty clear needs. One's a big guy, which everybody knows. The other one is a shooter, a pure shooter. I'm talking about a guy who can shoot better than 40% from three consistently that the other team looks at and says, we can't leave him open. We cannot leave that guy open. All he does is shoot, but we can't let him shoot. We'll exploit him on the defensive end. They don't have that guy. They need a guy like that.
But don't they want to build a team where they feel like everyone is that guy?
Yeah, but the problem is that their shooters are all... See, I don't believe that you can win in that league with five good shooters as opposed to two great ones. You know, I think you need those real elite snipers. And look, Tatum is close. I mean, and I think at his peak, he's probably going to be that. Or pretty close to it. So you can live with Tatum and someone else. But like, you know, like a look at the guys Miami had. You know, whether it's Duncan Robinson or Tyler Hero, and you go to Golden State's got two of them, and those guys are all-timers. But you need somebody. They had Ray Allen when they won the championship. You need somebody that the defense looks at and says, if that guy gets an open shot, he's making it.
Okay. I'm just curious if Danny's willing to pull the trigger and peel off of his precious team. I just will if he's willing to doing it. Willing to do it. Does Jimmy Stewart's phone have anything? I'm just curious. Jimmy Stewart's phone
I don't. I have a hard time believing that the Celtics are going to trade the coach's pet, Stevens, and the Hayward relationship, even with 1 year left. I mean, if you're asking me an opinion on Gordon Hayward, I think he opts out and they sign him to a longer-term deal.
Oh God.
So like, that could be a possibility. I was reading about this, too.
His opt-out is this year. It's due whatever in a month or whenever it is.
Yeah, but his option year is based on a percentage of revenue. So because of COVID, his $34 million option could actually be less.
Uh-huh.
So I was reading about this. I can't remember who had it. It was either someone in The Athletic or it might have been B-Rob. I can't remember. But the point being is that Hayward may look at it and say, well, if the Celtics, you know, if I opt out, I could then re-sign with the Celtics for 3 years at $60 million. So I get more guaranteed money because I wasn't going to make the 34 in the first year anyway.
So that's what I'm fearing, that they're not just going to hoard, but they'll double down. And it's like, and I just don't think the mix works. It works at a championship level. It's going to work at a level where they're going to win a bunch of regular season games and they'll be a nice team and a good team and a small C contending team. But they're to hit their ceiling, they got to peel something out of here.
Yeah, you'll be the Indiana Pacers with Roy Hibbert. Those years. Remember those years? Indiana was always good. They get in the playoffs and lose.
They have an occasional seven-game series with LeBron and lose it.
Yeah, and they made a good run one year. I mean, they did. Paul George was on those teams too. But you know, it was... It's just not good enough at the end of the day. If Hayward were to re-up, to me, then you got to trade Smart. You got to trade Smart.
I don't
think
they will. I think this is the core going forward. That's just an opinion.
Okay, so is it Trader Danny or Hoarder Danny?
Hoarder Danny.
He's turned into this weird hoarder. Don't go in his basement or his garage. You'll be mortified.
I wonder if he's got some old Heralds in there.
Angelo and Everett, your thoughts.
I think Kyle Rudolph for a third rounder is a perfect fit for the Patriots because, A, Cam Newton needs a target over the middle, and that'll free up the receivers. And when it comes to the Celtics, I honestly think Marcus Smart's got to go. I would trade him to the Golden State Warriors for the 2 and the 14, definitely hands down.
Okay, so you mean you're sending your 14 and Smart to get the 2. I can't remember. We have the rest of the cut. Did Lowe and Simmons say the Warriors would do that? He just said, no, that'd be selling Lowe on... No, they said the Celtics were selling low on Marcus Smart if they got the second overall pick.
And the Warriors would be selling low on the number 2 pick.
So they want something more than Marcus Smart.
Yeah, so if you were to tell me that's Marcus Smart, number 14 this year, and whatever other first-round picks they have this year, Golden State probably says no. That's why a week ago when I brought up this idea, you would have to take back Andrew Wiggins. And I would do that because the goal is to get the potential franchise big because he's not going to come here unless he's drafted here, in my opinion.
And is that guy there at number 2?
The Weissman kid out of Memphis could be, but because he had some issues. But he's got size, he's got length, maybe get him in the system, he's around players, he grows into it. But he could be better than Marcus Smart, and that's the goal, right?
Yep.
Is to get a franchise big. That might be your only crack at it.
He could go 1, though. he could go one, in which case you left there holding your, you know,
Spencer.
Yeah.
Your ball in your hand.
I was just going to say your ball rack in your hand.
And I mean ball rack, yes. Meaning LaMelo ball.
Absolutely. Guy, right? Yeah, no, exactly.
I think the Edwards kid is the other franchise potential player.
See, you know what the other issue is? Is the Celtics don't have a lot of roster spots. So what are they going to do? Start drafting Euros again?
So and they have 3 first-round picks? So, like, please, I don't.
If there's Danny, not a lot of room in Maine anymore.
If Danny doesn't make a move and he makes all 3 picks, I'm going to lose my mind.
He will.
Like, yeah, of course he will. Get ready.
Weird hoarder. Okay? So something's got to give, Daniel.
I'm here for the content. I want him to draft all 3.
Oh, my God. But so I think a bold move is just peeling a piece off and not even really adding anything. Flexibility, cap room. I know that's hard in that league. You can't really do that, but you just work with me. You know what I mean? Like, if they dealt off Hayward or Smart and got what you deem to be an underwhelming return, I still think that's bold.
And that's what it's come to now. Just get rid of this musty rug, you hoarder, and we'll be happy with that. Like, that's sad. It is. That's no bold move.
Well, no, it is, because to give up Hayward or Smart for something less than commensurate value is taking a loss, but it's recognizing your room needs some room. You need to give the guys that you have more room. It's not worth it. Current mix isn't working. So give it some room to work.
I mean, to me, the real core of the team is those 3 young guys. And I still, you know, I include Smart there. He's not a young guy anymore. So, like, if you throw Hayward in the mix, I say you get rid of the money. But if you're talking Brown, Smart, Tatum, those 3 guys, one of them's got to go. That's easy.
You're talking about a guy who was reluctant to move Terry Rozier or Kyrie Irving when he knew it was a sinking ship.
Never mind all the draft picks that are now causing population problems in Maine.
It's almost as bad as Belichick with the quarterbacks.
Okay, so there's your Celtics minute. Back to your thoughts right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass, number 1, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just haven't been good. And I haven't matched enough good plays together for my liking. And that's what it comes down to. And when I mean good plays, I mean right reads, I mean ball positioning, I mean, you know, making guys miss, I mean, just the whole gamut of how I play. And I know what I'm capable of, and my standard is extremely high, and I haven't been meeting it, my personal standard. So that's how I feel. For us as an offense, we know that our excuse basket is running, you know, real low. You know, we're getting guys back that we missed for weeks. And, you know, even though we're missing a couple other guys, but we got enough to compete with anybody. And I mean anybody.
Cam Newton there. I don't know if I agree with that last part.
He's starting to bore me to tears in these interviews.
Okay, go ahead, Naz.
He is. I'm sorry. I wanted to say this to you before we...
Say it.
Okay, like he just, it's the proper team mumbo jumbo all the time. He's been completely, fully brainwashed. I liked it better when Brady was pissed off, frankly. As much as I thought Brady was acting like a dink, at least from a content standpoint, there was something to dig into there. You got the sense that he was mad. When he says we have the talent to go up against anybody, really?
Well, a little strong.
I mean, come on. And he has to be sitting there some days looking at this going, man, our receivers suck.
Well, but...
And I don't expect him to come out and say that. I don't.
I think he's sucked the last couple weeks, too.
He has.
And the receivers do suck. But let's not, you know, absolve him of the way he's played.
No. I don't know. I feel like...
He's had guys open. He's not seeing the field.
Yeah, I just...
And he's made some real bad mistakes.
His tone makes... The way he says it makes me feel like... He's just saying it to say it.
Well, you know, he's been a starting quarterback in this league for a long time, and so he knows how to play the game. You know, I mean,
it bugs me.
Well, I mean, I understand. But look, it's a big week for him, too. Big week for him, too.
Huge.
It was just again, play this game 2-3 weeks ago. The arrow was pointing up. Re-sign him. MVP candidate. He's already helping the young receivers. The passing game looks real. Here we go. And then there's a middling game against the Raiders that they win. So the train's still on the track, still positive vibes. Then he gets COVID. He's the only starting quarterback, the only quarterback, period, in that league to miss games because of that. And if you judge them for the if you judge them for that or not, you know, it's that's still the fact. He's the only quarterback in the league that has cost his team in that regard. And then he comes back and absolutely blows against Denver. And now it's like, oh God, they're in quarterback no man's land with Jimmy Garoppolo coming here. We look at the whole thing like they've just porked themselves. They have no quarterback. So that flipped on its ear pretty good in 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, it did. Yeah, they haven't played well in almost a month.
So let me tell you, I mean, they can get that back. I still think they can get that back and get that vibe back that you had after the first 2-3 weeks of the year. And I will include the Raiders game on it because it was a win. And frankly, didn't we all expect them to win a bunch of games like that?
Mm-hmm.
Bad teams comes in here, doesn't look great, but they find a way because they find a way.
And everyone else is stupid.
And everyone else sucks and is stupid, right. And the Raiders can't get out of their own way. And yeah, the quarterback play is just good enough, and here we go. And so they can get back to that. I expect them to get back to that. I expect Newton to get back to that. But he's got a lot at stake just personally. Because, again, I know I'm a horrible person for bringing up the COVID thing. Like, I've judged him for it. Like, so I'm just evil.
You are.
I suck.
You're a meanie.
Just a bad person. But I'm curious if the league does, too. I'm curious if the league looks at it and says, dude, you're the last guy that should be getting this. You're the one we need the most. You have to be the most careful. And, you know, Newton caused not only upheaval here but across the league because of the postponements and all the things they had to do to the schedule. And I wonder if he's hurt his value with the whole thing, with the way the last couple games have gone and him landing on that list where it's pretty clear he got it off campus. And it's like, does the league look at him a little different and say, well, you know, what do we got here?
I mean, with the accountability that the average football coach demands, I don't think there's any question. I mean, his career's at stake this year. It is. If he has a bad year, let's say he does stay healthy for the rest of the year. There are already things piling up against him, but then if he doesn't play, it's over.
Yeah, that's it. He'll be out of the league.
It's over. No. He may have to settle for a backup job next year.
Well, right. But he won't do that.
All right, so back to your calls, as promised here. Sean in Dorchester. Hi, Sean.
Hi, guys. Quickly on Gilmore, and Felger, I'm totally with you. I think they should trade him. I think it would be a classic Belichick move to kind of maximize the asset before he falls off. I mean, typically these corners, when they hit 30, since 2010, I did a little research on this, so bear with me for a second. Since 2010, 43 corners have made All-Pro or defensive back, whatever you want to call it. Only 8 of them were over the age 30 or older, and only one guy was a multiple All-Pro after the age 30 was Charles Woodson. So you can look at Gilmore and say, well, he's 30. If someone's willing to give you a first-round pick, I think you have
take
to jump
it.
All over.
Okay, so, but to Murray's point, I don't know if it's just a second if I'm going to do it. So, like, the whole thing is, well, you get, you get a compensatory third-round pick, which is really a high fourth. So take a third for him because then you win the value game. And that's not worth it for me. I still want to win games and win the division this year. If it's a second, I'm still probably not doing it.
Me either. It was a slow start for him. He wasn't great in these first couple of games. And, you know, maybe something's going on in his head because he's concerned about the world at large and COVID. Who knows?
Oh, but no, he's pissed at his contract, too.
But he's looked better the last couple of weeks, and he's the reigning defensive player of the year. You can't take less than a first-round pick for him. Even if it's just one, you got to get a first for him if you're going
to
do that.
I mean, to me, I don't know if you're going to get a first. Honestly, I think I'd take anything in the top 40, 45. If you give me something in the top half of the second, I'd take it.
I don't want that.
If you give me one of the top 50 players in the draft, I would do it.
Howard's in Randolph on our Mookie Betts conversation this week. Go ahead, Howard.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Okay, in my opinion, I think the reason that Betts wasn't going to sign with the Red Sox was he wanted to go to free agency. He wanted Trout money. But then the Sox realized he wasn't going to sign this year early, so they traded him to get something back from the Dodgers, and in addition, they got rid of Price. The Dodgers didn't want to give up players and not get Mookie and let him go to free agency. So that's why they made the deal for him. And I think he signed it because not knowing if the season was going to happen, he would not know, you know, he wouldn't have numbers to add for next year's negotiations. And they gave him a very good deal. So I think that's why he signed it. I don't think he signed because he didn't want to be in Boston.
Well, I mean, we don't know, right? So we're just sort of speculating and reading tea leaves. So the one piece that just doesn't add up, caller,
is that he just wanted to go to market. He just wanted to be a free agent. He didn't. He signed early in L.A. He signed with a year to go. He signed there where he wouldn't sign here. Now, the answer to that, the counter to that is, well, it's COVID. He was uncertain about COVID, and so he took the bird in hand. But the bird in hand was the second highest contract in the history of baseball. It was the second highest contract in baseball behind Trout. So there was no COVID contract. That was a non-COVID contract that he was. So he was not willing to wait there, but he wanted to wait here. So you tell me.
Because people want to bend themselves over backwards on this thing and to come to whatever conclusion they can for the simple fact that they don't want to believe that Mookie didn't want to be here.
And I don't blame you for feeling that way. You don't want to admit that Mookie didn't want to be here, because that's a bad thing for you. If this is not a place for young star baseball players, that's a problem for you.
So, and I would just tell Red Sox fans, though, that if don't take it personally. It's not a reflection on you.
Oh, I would take it personally.
I wouldn't.
It's a direct reflection on you, us.
On the fan base?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so.
I do.
I don't. I mean, if it's a racial issue, that's different. That's different. But if the guy didn't want to play in an intense market, I don't want that guy.
Oh, look, I'm not saying that we're wrong. I'm just saying he didn't want us, whatever we are. And I think we're right. I like the way we approach sports, and I like the interest, and I like the passion, and I like all of it.
But that's why I say don't take it personally.
Well, okay, but it is a reflection on us.
Yeah, but again, and I would say, but I'm okay being who we are.
Yes, me too.
Like, I sort of look at that one and say, there's not much you can do about that one. And I hear you. I'm not telling you that's a good thing for the overall, you know, health of the franchise, because you want great players. But at the same breath, I would say, if the guy didn't want to be here, what are you going to do? You got to trade his ass.
What are you gonna, should we just stop caring to make you guys happy so you're comfortable here?
Well, so, look, I hate that part of it, too. And look, I'm not trying to be cold or I'm not trying to be cold or you know, unemotional about it, not invested in it. But this is why I felt the way I did when it got to the point where he hadn't signed going into the final year. See you later. Bye-bye. Sorry. I mean, I'm not trying to be a dink about it, but I can't let one of the great players that the franchise has produced in who knows how many years walk out the door and get nothing. I just cannot do that. And he knew that. He knew that, which is why he approached it the way he did. He was all too happy to be traded.
Agenda Free Friday continues after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.